Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 21, Pali Maharaj arrested by the Lord, text number 4. Datu kamandulu jalam tarurukramasya padavinejana pavitrataya nirendra swaradun yabun navasi sapatiti ni namarishti. Loka trayam bhagavato vishvadeva kirti. Datu of Lord Brahma. Kamandalu jalam. From the Kamandalu. Tat that. Uru Kramasya of Lord Vishnu Para Avi Avanejana Pavitrataya. Because of washing the lotus feet of the Lord Vishnu and thus being transcendentally pure. Nara Indra, O King. Swaraduni, the river named Swaraduni, of the celestial world, Abhut, so became, Nabasi, in outer space, Sa, that water, Padati, flowing down, Nima Rishti, purifying, Lokatrayam, the three worlds, Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishada, so purified, Eva, just like, Kirti, the fame or the glorious activities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King, the water from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva, who is known as Arukrama, the wonderful actor. Thus that water became so pure that it was transformed into the water of the Ganges, which went flowing down from the sky, purifying the three worlds like the pure fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Here we understand that the Ganges began when the water from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva. But in the fifth canto it is stated that the Ganges began when Vamanadeva's left foot pierced the covering of the universe so that the transcendental water of the causal ocean leaked through. And elsewhere is also stated that Lord Narayan appeared as the water of the Ganges. The water of the Ganges, therefore, is a combination of three transcendental waters, and that the Ganges is able to purify the three worlds. This is the description given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura. Text number 5. Lord Brahma and all the predominating deities of the various planetary systems began to worship Lord Vamanadeva, their supreme master, who had reduced himself from the all-pervading form to his original form. They collected all the ingredients and paraphernalia for this worship. Purport. Vamanadeva first expanded himself to the universal form and then reduced himself to the original Vamana Rupa. Thus he acted exactly like Lord Krishna, who at the request of Arjuna first showed his universal form and later resumed his original form as Krishna. The Lord can assume any form he likes, but his original form is that of Krishna, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. According to the capacity of the devotee, the Lord assumes various forms so the devotee can handle him. This is his causeless mercy. When Vamanadeva resumed his original form, Lord Brahma and his associates collected various paraphernalia for worship him, for worship with which to please him. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimati Bhakti Viranta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatunde Ve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskyadyade Satarane. So here is a perspective that Krishna can not only be seen everywhere, but actually he is everywhere. At least he's has his energies everywhere. As it says that just like fire, just like fire is situated in one place and expands itself everywhere, yata dipo expands itself everywhere. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in one place and he expands his energies everywhere. Just like, so just like would be yata dipo nivada vasto nengate sopamasriha. No, that's not it. Jyotisham api jyotoshna, that's one of the words in there. Just like fire is situated, just like is yata. And fire is yatagnir, just like fire is in one place. Ekadesha sitasyagya, joshnas vistrasiyata, parasya brahmana shakti sitayidam akilam jagat. That's why it's good to know the word for word also. Just like fire is in one place, but it expands itself everywhere. So similarly, the Supreme Lord is one place, but he expands his energies everywhere. So he expands himself in his personal expansions and also in his impersonal expansions. But ultimately, it's all personal because Krishna is aware of everything. Just like if you take a stick and you beat someone with it, and they complain, oh, why are you beating me with a stick? He said, I'm not beating you with a stick. It's the stick that's beating you. But ultimately, it's the person behind the stick who's doing the beating. The stick is simply the instrument. Similarly, Krishna expands himself everywhere, and he may have his impersonal feature, but that's also acting under his direction. Maya Daksena Prakriti. So, Maya Dakshaka, Isha. Krishna is seeing what's going on and he's controlling things. And from the point of view of our relation with Krishna, that relationship is eternal, however you look at it. Because he says in the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says, Departure, hi eva, dasantram abhyupetya, Dipayate vivrita hetu samana dharma yastadri eva hi vishnutaya vibhati govindam adi purushang tamahang vijami. Departure. Does anyone know what departure means? Deepa. What does deepa mean? Yeah. It's a light. A candle. Departure eva hi dasantaram avyupetya. Dasantaram expanding itself. Avyupetya, expanding itself. Dipayate, so just like illumination of the candle, dipayate. Deepa, dipayate means the candle is illuminating, because that's what a candle does. Dipayate. Vivrita hetu is the cause. So one candle putting its energy next to another candle is the cause of that candle illuminating itself. Ipayate vivrita hetu samana dharma. But every time you put a candle next to another candle, the candle burns equally as its original candle. So even a candle can, even the flame of a candle can expand itself. What to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? If you take the, you can't say that one flame of the candle, when it's put next to another candle, now the flame is different. No, it's exactly the same flame. Therefore it says, Dipayache vivrita hetu samana dharma, exactly the same. Tadrig eva, yes, tadrig eva, vishnutaya vibhati. So in the same way, Krishna expands himself. That means the Paramatma within our heart is exactly the same as Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, playing on a flute. Now, it is not that Krishna is playing his flute necessarily in our heart right now. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarabhutasthitam yomam bhajanye katma asthitam sarato vatmanono pis suyogimaya vartate. Sarabhutasthitam yomam bhajanye katma asthita. That one who sees me as the super soul in the heart and worships me as the Supreme Lord, Sarabhutasthitam yomam bhajanye katma asthita, as the same person, Sarabhutasthitam yomam bhajanye katma asthita sarvata vatmanonapi samayi vartate. He always remains in me in all circumstances. Now Krishna, he takes on different moods in his expansions specifically for a certain purpose. That Krishna doesn't expand himself because he has nothing else to do. He has a very specific purpose, and as a super soul, he's sitting in the heart. And he's observing what we're doing. He's not doing it maliciously. He's not trying to do it to get us doing something bad so he can punish us. I caught you, you're finished. I got the goods on you. But I see everything. I told you not to do it, and you did it. Yama, coming. We got another one here. Send your boys. No, Krishna's not doing it out of maliciousness. He's doing it because that's what the souls want. They want to fulfill their desire. They want to be something they're not. So Krishna arranges a fairy tale, like land, for them to live in, where they can use their imagination and dream that they're something they're not. Just like some people like to sleep a lot, because then they can dream. They can't become prominent in this dreamland, and therefore they want to enter into another dreamland where they have more control over the situation, hopefully. You go to sleep at night and think, well, I'll take this husband tonight or that wife. No, I'll take the other one. Any other choice, Maya? So we think we have this dreamland we can fool around with in our sleeping, but this other dreamland that we're in is more complicated and we get into trouble in this dreamland more often. Although it lasts a lot longer, and therefore we're more interested in it than our other dreamlands, because they go too quick. And this one goes quick too, but we think it's going to last a little bit longer. So we're a little bit more, sometimes we're a little bit more cautious about what we do in this dreamland. But Krishna's watching so that he can fulfill our dreams. If we want to just act whimsically in this dreamland, then he gives us all opportunities to do it. And if we want to become serious and find out what to do with this opportunity of the human form of life, then he gives us that opportunity too. Otherwise, he sends us back into the animal species or the plant species or the insect species where I don't think at night, well, maybe they do, I don't think the insects dream very much. Dream of becoming a human being. I don't think they even know what a human being is. And I don't know if the ant dreams of somehow or another developing a relationship with the queen ant. I'd like to be the king ant. I don't think they're so advanced. They just dream. Oh, it was a hard night. It was a hard day carrying that leaf. I need a little rest. And they just go to sleep. In any case, Krishna's watching and he's fulfilling our desires, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. And therefore he arranges the material nature in order to give us what we deserve and what we desire. Or what we desire according to what we deserve. But at the end of life, if we deserve to become a dog, we can't say, well, actually, I don't really want to become a dog. I made a mistake. Can you make me into an elephant? What about a demigod? Sorry. You accumulated enough credit to get that of a dog body. Now, actually, I gave you a few extra credits. You should become an ant, but I gave you a few extra credit, so don't complain. But Krishna says, sarva-bhutasthitam samam sarveshu-bhuteshu samaham sarva-bhuteshu namai-dvesti-stana-priyaha ye-bhajanti-tumam-bhakta mai-te-teshu-chapyaha. That I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone, I am equal to everyone, but whoever takes shelter in me in devotion, he's a friend, he's in me, and I'm within him. I'm a friend to him also. In other words, that's our choice. Either we could follow the ways of life and join the three modes of nature, and as Krishna says, thus meet with both good and evil amongst the various species, or we can take shelter of Krishna. Human life is meant to simply convince us to take shelter of Krishna. And what does that mean? It means before we do something, we should find out what Krishna wants us to do. We have to be a little thoughtful. Otherwise, what we do is we follow our feelings. Well, I feel like this. Well, we follow our feelings. We're going to clash with everyone else's feelings. As soon as we feel a certain way, someone else is going to feel a different way. And my trying to use my will to influence the situation based on my feelings, I'm going to be opposed by someone else who has a maybe equally strong will or a stronger will or lesser will who has his feelings. And somehow or another is going to be a conflict. And even if I win, I still, because someone else had lost, and it's simply their feelings of anger and enviousness have simply increased, and therefore they're going to spend their life, or the next life, or the next 50 lives, trying to get even with me. So I won, but what have I won? I've won a good enemy. I won a lot of trouble in the future. That's what I've won. And even if I satisfy someone, will they actually be satisfied? They'll come back for more. You satisfied me. Satisfy me again. Well, I shouldn't be satisfying you. It's not good. No, no, you satisfy me or else you're going to become my enemy. You're useless if you don't satisfy me. I've been glorifying you. I've been appreciating you. I've been telling everyone how wonderful you are because you satisfy me. So you dare not dissatisfy me or else I'll destroy your reputation. I built you up, and I can build you down. I can break you down. And if you're neutral towards everyone, if you're neutral, then also people think, why is this person neutral? He's useless. He doesn't help us. He doesn't help anyone. Just ignore him. The only safe way is to find out what Krishna wants us to do. And if we do that, whatever the results will be, at least we'll have Krishna. And if we don't do that, whatever the results are, we'll have nothing at the end but trouble. Now we may be convinced that if you become the king or the queen, then your life will be perfect. But that's all an advertisement. Otherwise, no one would actually make the effort in that modern society to work like a dog so you can eat like a hog. Have sex like a pigeon, defend yourself like a tiger. No one would do it if they didn't think they actually got some gain. Although anyone who's gotten their 15th black belt in karate usually takes up another martial arts because he's still not satisfied, still feels insecure. He still feels insufficient, inadequate to defend himself. And indeed, here I am, I have 15 black belts. I'm the 15th degree of black belt karate. My opponent jumps me on the street, takes a gun, shoots me in the head. My 15th degree of karate doesn't carry along with me for my next life. Matter of fact, it served for nothing. So unless one actually is convinced that everything here is controlled by Krishna, and he's not unconscious, it's not like he doesn't know what's going on. There's some dark place in this world I can hide and do whatever I want, and Krishna can't see. No, he's in every atom. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarasta. He's seeing. And even it says, Prabhupada points out from the Bhagavatam, that Krishna says that, or Brahma says, that yes, chaksha echa savitasa kala grahanam, that the sun is one of his eyes, the moon is his other eye. So during the day he's looking at us with his big eye called the sun, and at night he's seeing what's through the eye of the moon. He's in our heart. He's in every atom. So what can we get away with? Nothing. But Maya is there to convince us, don't worry, no one's looking. You can do whatever you want. Just do whatever you want. Have a good time. It's on me. There's no reaction. You got a freebie today. But even nowadays, you go on the internet, they're tracking you whatever stroke you put. Even you don't even want to see one of the suggestions on YouTube, you put your pointer over it, immediately captures your pointer and logs that as something you watched or potentially you're going to watch. So even the materialists, they're watching everything. Krishna's arranged Kali Yuga, you can't get away with anything. Not only God, who's neutral, is watching you, but people who want to sell you something or worse than that are watching you too. They have their eyes on you. And therefore it should be a matter of concern that whatever I do, whatever I think is being watched. And therefore, if the little children are trained up, the only thing they've ever been trained up that I remember to have any conscience is that if they're not good, then Santa Claus won't give them a gift. At least where I come from. Do they have that here also? What is that? He knows if you're good or bad, so be good for good. You better not shout, you better not cry. Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows if you're bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. That's the only morality that's ever taught. And he's spoiled children get more presents than anyone else anyhow. In any case, we have to be aware of Krishna. He's the ultimate Santa Claus. He's the one who's actually going to give us good or bad. And if we do something for him, that will be good. And everything else is different varieties of bad. So I don't know, yesterday was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's Tirobhav. What's that? Who's his Vyas Puja yesterday? Oh, is that what it was? Okay. Did anyone say anything yesterday? Oh, you talked about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj yesterday. Oh, okay, so I don't really. What's that? Oh, okay, good. All right. Any questions or comments?
There's one on the internet, or three, sorry. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Paramatma is in the heart of the living entities. What does the heart mean in that connection?
Means wherever the soul is, Krishna is in the heart. The soul is 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary size, and Krishna enters into the heart of the soul as Paramatma. Anything else?
Avaduta Roy Prabhu, two questions. Why is in the 11th canto commentary Jnana Yoga also called transcendental? Usually it is said that it is in the mode of goodness.
Depends what kind of jnana it is. If it's in relation to Krishna, then Krishna is there. Therefore, Krishna is transcendental, so the knowledge becomes transcendental. If it's connected to Krishna, then it's transcendental.
Okay, and the second question, how to read Bhagavatam for the satisfaction of the Lord?
Do it as a service to Krishna. Appreciate it. Hear it with care and attention. And Krishna is satisfied, because that's what he says. Regularly hear it with rapt attention. Then Krishna is satisfied. Because ultimately Bhagavatam teaches us how to remain absorbed and surrendered simply to work for the pleasure of Krishna. And if we're working simply out of love for Krishna, whatever we're doing, then Krishna is pleased. That's what the Bhagavatam teaches. So we're able to hear the message, we're able to remember it, understand it, and apply it, then with love and attention, with the care and attention, then Krishna will be pleased. Anything else? Okay, Khwala, Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.